10 o'clock hour of William Tausch begins now. And now everyone is applauding, including our friend Rob Domofsky, that Adam Schefter is feeding into the Jordan Schultz on Ian Rappaport beef at the Starbucks in the JW Marriott in Indianapolis. So hope everyone's enjoying that. We're going to stay above the fray. That's what we do here. Rob did do a very interesting, very, very, very interesting piece on ESPN.com last week, looking at the Packers draft class. And if you looked at how good Edgerrin Cooper was, Javon Bullard was, Evan Williams was, it's a pretty good class. Mm-hmm. Rob's point was that they got next to nothing out of Jordan Morgan, Marshawn Lloyd, and Tyron Hopper, which I think is a fair point. Jordan Morgan, as we talked about with Brian Bulaga yesterday, which I highly recommend if you missed his appearance yesterday. There's some really interesting stuff there. So check it out on Wisconsin On Demand or where you get your podcasts or on the YouTube channel. But Jordan Morgan's going to be a starter next year. The question is where? He had the shoulder surgery. It ruined his rookie year. Marshawn Lloyd may have had the unluckiest rookie season in Packers history. I mean, he's just about to finally come back, and he gets an emergency appendectomy? Not great, Bob. And Tyron Hopper, you know, we went into the season not knowing a lot about Edgerrin Cooper because he'd missed time in training camp.
Dennis Hopper. Hoosiers, RIP Gene.
Rest in peace, Gene Hackman, who died at age 95 overnight. And apparently, it was his wife and his dog who all passed away in their New Mexico home. And there is an opinion. There are reports that it has nothing to do with foul play, which always leads me to wonder if in some way carbon monoxide or something is involved there, because that is tragic and really sad. And he is one of my favorite actors, and I do love Hoosiers, which he famously told Dennis Hopper was going to ruin both their careers. He thought it was going to be so bad. And it turned out to be one of his most beloved films, and he was wrong about that.
My team's on the court.
Yes, with Rafe on the bench, because he wouldn't do what I told him to do. But anyway, Tyron, no relation to Dennis, who I believe has also passed away, RIP to him, Hopper. Boy, they get something out of those three guys. Now you're really talking. Now you're cooking. That's a pretty big if,
I think Marshawn Lloyd has obviously Jordan Morgan is going to be a critical piece to however Green Bay approaches their offseason at the offensive line. First-round picks are always going to be given that opportunity. But Marshawn Lloyd will be interesting to me because I think they felt pretty good, obviously with Josh Jacobs, but they felt good. You feel like, for as much as I love Josh Jacobs, I think they want to get a home run hitter. Someone that can take one to the crib. Is that Marshawn Lloyd? I don't know. I don't know if they know.
Like a little rocket in the backfield is how Jordan Love described him.
Okay. Well, then that would let you know that that's probably the role that they think. I think he will have an opportunity outside of Jordan, and you just mentioned those three guys. There's obviously other players, Glover, and you know Kalen King is going to get opportunities, especially if Jair goes. There's going to be other opportunities, but this draft class is going to be successful if Edgerrin Cooper stays on his trajectory and Evan Williams stays on his trajectory, and if Jordan Morgan becomes a really good starter. It's a really good class. Mm-hmm. And then anybody else you get, you sprinkle, you're going to say, it gets better and better. And it's going to get opportunities, but the beautiful part of this is you just said those three names, and I'm thinking to myself, outside of Jordan, it ain't going to really matter. It'll be great. That's an ice cream on top ice cream cake type deal. This isn't a case where you need these guys to be dogs. You don't. Jordan needs to be a really good player.
Yeah.
Outside of that, if everybody else on this list, and I always have my little handy draft list right here. anybody else on this list doesn't pan out, you're going to be all right. And that's why, you know, the draft, if you're 50% and you get a dog like Edgerrin Cooper. Now, he has to get more consistent, but I don't think anybody here is down on him. We knew when they drafted him he was going to be an impact player. I think we saw the splashes of what we love, and we just want to see more of it. And Evan Williams is Micah Hyde 3.0, according to Jason Wilde. He's a really good player. The rest of this draft class, if it doesn't pan out, I don't think we're going to be missing a beat. It'd be great if a couple other guys did, especially Marshawn. But outside of that, we want good special teams players, guys that are going to be consistent. And then you take, if you get one more, if Jacob Monk elevates, oh, okay, that solves a problem. But you don't need it. You hope. And that's the position you want to be in as a drafter. You don't need everybody to be stars. You get a couple and you get solid players. That's how you build championship rosters.
It's true, but again, you also have a draft class that is coming to maturity and free agency a year from now, which included Quay Walker, Devontae Wyatt, Christian Watson, Sean Ryan, Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom, Kingsley Enagbare, and Rasheed Walker. That's nine guys out of that class, but you don't get to keep them forever. And you have you're talking about 60% of your offensive line being in a walk year, and a fourth guy in his walk year who just finished his walk year who's going to be a free agent. So there's a lot of moving pieces here, and the one undeniable reality is that Jordan Morgan needs to be a dog, as you like to say.
He needs to be a guy. You draft a guy in the first round. You want him to play immediately, especially on the O-line, but you've gotten basically a redshirt year. He did get to get out there and play. He would have been a collegiate redshirt with the amount of games he was able to play.
Correct.
And now he gets a full off season to get healthy, get stronger, understand what he needs to be the guy. But the interesting storyline there is going to be, has he changed his tune? I'll be fascinated when you get a chance to see him. Is his mindset changed? Is he now, well, whatever the team wants? Or his initial thoughts when he got drafted was, I'm going to be left tackle for the G&G. And the G&G did not feel that way.
No.
How's Jordan? How does that adjustment going to be? Because I'd be shocked. Rasheed Walker played good enough. I don't think you're always looking to add competition, but Rasheed Walker being a starting left tackle for the G&G. It's going to be where Jordan Morgan, he's going to be left guard. That would be my guess. And then Elton slides over to center, and away we go.
Is Rasheed Walker the left tackle in 2026?
Listen, dude. We're not even into 25 yet. Come on.
Dude, you're wanting to extend Tucker Kraft.
Hey, dude.
And he's not eligible for an extension. Dude.
Because I know the dog he is. I know the dog that he is. The question's going to be, you're going to pay Zach Tom $25 to $30 million a year. Are you going to reset and go over there, or are you going to pay Rasheed Walker? Going to have to pay him similar dollars. Are you going to put $50 million into your tackles? The answer should be yes if you feel like that's where Sheed's at. I think they think Sheed's a really good player. Sheed would be somebody that you'd want to get in front of. Get out in front of. I don't know. Is he eligible to be extended to?
He's a good player. So if you could, I'm not sure why you duded me there, but yes, he's eligible
for
extension. Well, you're
asking, what do you think of 28? What do I always tell you?
I didn't say 28. You have to decide, are you going to extend him or not? If you extend him, he's your left tackle of the future and the present. If you don't, that means you might want to play Jordan Morgan there and let him walk because you think he's okay but not good enough. It's a worthwhile question.
It's a question. It will tell you a lot about what you think if Jordan Morgan now goes out and is competing at left tackle. But I think you could still go in this year, say, all right, we will get Sheed. If we can get Sheed at 20 a year, great, we'll bring him in. If he is going to want top market and he plays great, then you can look at franchising. I just don't know how that will shake out. It will be the most interesting, one of the most interesting parts.
Interesting.
What?
You were so dismissive of that question. It was a little irritating, frankly. Let's play trivia. Dude, let's play trivia. We have to do double trivia. Jesse, we are doing your leftover Andy North trivia today, or are we saving that for tomorrow and doing geography?
Today is Tausch.
What?
Today is Wisconsin geography trivia because we had double ready to go yesterday and we didn't end up getting to it.
Yeah,
so
perfect.
Double geography
car
today.
Wash trivia.
Just don't want you to be
chocolate
upset.
Chocolate trivia.
You love geography trivia. It's your favorite category for trivia.
Yeah, I love it.
So
100%.
So as we go into the announcement of the category, I don't want you to be like, oh, it's got to be draft trivia today, dude.
I said travel trivia, meaning geography.
Oh, okay.
No one has ever called it travel trivia, ever.
I should have known. I apologize.
I just did.
Washington.
What do we end up talking about? Latitudinally. Tausch is driving from so-and-so to such-and-such.
Don't justify. It's never been called travel trivia. Put it in your calendar. Now, which callers would you like?
8 and 16.
8 and 16. 414 800-944-770-3776 844
full start penalty, sir.
I'm Rasheed Walker. 844-770-3776 844-770-3776 I think he had some early in the season. He had some false start and holding penalties. Remember, he did not.
He had holding penalties.
He did not particularly enjoy these series of questions. Regarding his penalty numbers early in the year. 844-770-3776. Here's a bunch of Packers and Jesse on the video stream. 844-770-3776. Caller 8 and caller 16 will play next after Tausch tells us about Kohler Services, who will travel to your home to renovate your bathroom.
Oh, indeed they will. And if you've been putting off your bath or shower remodel, I don't know what to tell you. Get to it. It is time to turn to Kohler Services. Family-owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life. And this month only, zero interest and zero financing for your Lugstone shower remodel. And you get a free shower door with your Lugstone shower remodel. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast professional installation always included. Again, that's KohlerServicesWI.com.
Trivia's next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
So we can get to Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy, and we'll get to him late, and I apologize in advance. Let's welcome in caller number 8. It is Tim in West Bend, who is a first-time contestant.
Timmer!
Hi, Tim.
Hi there.
And
how are you, Tim?
At the other end of the spectrum...
Can we ask how Tim's doing before we get to...
Tim had the opportunity to offer how he was doing. He didn't. We're going to move forward because we're...
I'm working on some electrical, so if I go blank, that means I shorted myself out.
Okay, don't do that. We can't have that happen.
Oh, jeez.
It's going to be an electrifying round of trivia on Wilde and Tausch. And then, so Tim's a first-time contestant. Meanwhile, Steve in the Shaw is playing for the third consecutive week. Steve, good morning. How are you?
Let's go, Steve. Let's go.
Good morning, guys. I'm not going to ask you how you are because I'm going to be like Homer. I don't really care.
Yeah, and we don't have
time.
That's fair. So question number one, Tim, is this. Featured in Travel Wisconsin's list of 5 only in Wisconsin ice cream stops, the Babcock Hall Dairy Store is located on the campus of which of these Wisconsin universities? Is it UW-Madison?
Wisconsin-Madison. Madison.
Bamski.
As much as I want to expedite the process, Jesse did have a good line about UW chocolate eclair. Which was okay, I thought.
Not bad. That's not bad.
See? All right.
Pretty good.
Steve, question one for you.
What would the nickname be then, Jesse? It could just be Blue Gold. There's
if I
be
may.
Something. Blue Bunny Ears? Like, what would we be?
Oh, that's us. Never mind.
That's an ice cream.
It's true.
That's exempt.
It is indeed. Steve, question number one for you. Featured in Travel Wisconsin's list of five only in Wisconsin ice cream stops, the Pearl, sharing the name with the main street it is located on, can be found in which of these Wisconsin cities? Is it La Crosse, Green Bay, or Winneconne? Also good.
I'm going to go with my alma mater, La Crosse.
Yeah. Indeed. All right, one for one for each of you. Question two, Tim.
Once went to the Pearl twice in one day.
You say that like it's a bat?
Oh, no, it was amazing.
Tim, question two. latitudinally, which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest south? Farthest south. Is it Delavan, Darien, or Douseman?
Delavan.
Could you not after the electrocution line? Could you not take quite that long? You have me worried. Delavan, not the correct answer. Jesse, what's the correct answer?
Darien, further south than Delavan.
Spelled correctly, though. All right. Steve, question two for you.
Outside of Cambria, Friesland, and what's the other great hyphenated school? Like, what are the great hyphenated cities in the
Adams
state
Friendship,
of Wisconsin?
Pecatonica, yeah. Argyle, yeah. Osseo-Fairchild.
Osseo-Fairchild's a good one.
Osseo-Fairchild, Pie Country. That's the Pie Corridor. Yep.
Are you doing this just to extend trivia? Is this what you're doing? Are you just filibustering?
No, I love you. Is there anything I love more than cities, Wisconsin City? Like, that's why we love the geography / travel trivia.
They did
Rice Lake.
Bucks game starts.
Big time pie. That's part of the Pie Corridor.
Rice Lake's not a combo thing.
No, it's not, but it's part of the Pie Corridor.
Bucks game starts at 7. It was originally scheduled for 6:30, so Justin's got extra time. He's not going anywhere, so we're good.
All right. Question two, Steve, is this. A longitudinally.
God, I hope this isn't about the Pie Corridor.
Which of these Wisconsin cities is located farthest west? Farthest west. Is it Delavan, Darien, or Douseman?
Delavan.
Oh, tricky, tricky. It's tricky, tricky. The correct answer again is Darien.
Really?
Clever boy.
Darien, southwest of Delavan.
There you have it.
Interesting. Yeah. Delavan, the, what's Baraboo, the museum? What's the big museum? Carnival. They're known for that,
circus.
Right?
Circus.
Circus. There you go. Downtown. Thanks. Beautiful little downtown. Cobblestone streets down there in Delavan.
Baraboo or Delavan?
Yeah, what?
Or Darien? No,
Delavan. Delavan used to be the big circus capital of everything.
I love the fact
check. And I think they
that.
Moved it.
I feel
now
like
they got that downtown, but they
like
still have a great history.
I don't think that's
a
true.
Great history of circuses.
Question
in
three, Tim.
Delavan Darien at Monona Grove Friday night on Zimmer Conda's Prep Mania on ESPN Madison and the YouTube channel.
It's going just the way I expected it to. Question three, Tim. Revs Bowl is one of the two host sites of the 2025 Wisconsin High School Bowling Club State Championships the weekend of March 9th. It is also a place that both Jason and Sydney Wilde have bowled before? In
that's
which Wisconsin
the,
city
written down on there?
Is Rev's Bowl located? Is it located in Appleton, Oshkosh, or Fond du Lac?
Oshkosh.
Indeed, a fundraiser every year for UW-Oshkosh women's basketball is held at Rev's Bowl, and that is the correct answer. Question three now for Steve. A Rolling Thunder Lanes is one of the two host sites for the 2025 Wisconsin. You totally took my thing from last week and did the same question three times.
I learned from the best.
Rolling Thunder Lanes, one of the two host sites for the 2025 Wisconsin High School Bowling Club State Championships, the weekend of March 9th. In which Wisconsin city is Rolling Thunder Lanes located, where I have never bowled? Is it in Omro, West Bend, or Nina?
Let's say the home of the Rockets, Nina.
So, as it turns out, Delvin Darien, the spelling of which tripped up Jesse in the graphics department, also tripped up both of our contestants, but otherwise they got their other two questions right. So, Tim, thanks for staying safe during your electrical job. You got three entries into tomorrow's drawing. We appreciate you. Thanks.
All right. Great.
And, Steve, you got two of the three right. You got three of the possible four entries, and you probably won't be picked just like you weren't the last 2 weeks. Thanks for playing.
Jesse, you better pick my name out of the cheese hat.
Yeah.
Cheese helmet.
We do this fairly, Steve. You can check the official contest rules at ESPNWisconsinContests.com.
Yeah. Just because the contest rules say that doesn't mean you're doing it fairly. That doesn't guarantee anything.
Jason.
It's your...
If you were to...
Oh, here we go.
If you were to mirror and you wanted a job shadow, plumber, electrician, concrete worker, which one are you picking?
Radio host.
That wasn't a choice.
I made a choice.
Which one would you pick?
Well, I think I would pick concrete. How much work do I have to do?
Right. That's the major thing here. Because, like, the plumber, I think, could be the most fun to watch. But I want to be
with,
able
like, the snake and pulling out sewage
right,
and
but
stuff?
Right, but, like, I want to be able to walk away.
What pants he's wearing.
Like, I don't want to be the one necessarily doing it. I just want to be shadowing for the day, taking notes, and be able to walk away and go talk to the homeowners if I need to.
Sure. Wouldn't it be fun to learn and understand electricity better?
So, I can speak to this since we're just going to keep delaying our Bucks buddy joining us.
Nobody's delaying. We just had an electrician on. I'm not making this stuff up. There he is. There's Jay. You don't think JG? I think he'd love to go and study electrical work. I do.
Gabe Neitzel's dad, who I wrote a check for his services in August, and then I discovered it in like late December, and I still haven't sent it to him, so I'm a scofflaw and I owe him money.
Just wait a second. You wrote a check, but you didn't send it to
him? I forgot to mail it, yeah. I had a lot. There was a lot going on. It's my fault. 100% my fault.
Yeah. Okay.
But he did some work here, and I got to tell you, it is fascinating.
Yes.
But electricity scares me. Like, I don't want to do the thing like Scooby-Doo.
Well, you're scared of your own shadow. In fairness, you're scared of your own shadow.
All right, we'll get to Justin Garcia, who we love. He'll join us next to talk Bucks and get Tausch hyped for Bucks Nuggies. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Two things. One, that I'm going to start dancing right here. in the Woldy Family Basement Studios. You just can't help it.
Great song.
It means our Bucks buddy. You hear him on the Bucks broadcasts on both the flagship 620 WTMJ and 100.5 ESPN Madison. I like it because the SiriusXM app in my car allows me to listen to the local broadcast with him and Dave Kane. So I got to hear him the other night. He was better than the Bucks finished in the fourth quarter. He is Justin Garcia, our Bucks buddy. Justin, proud to say I was one of the first four people to tune in on X/Twitter to watch the pre-game programming that you were delivering. It's great, the shoot around. And then by the time you got done, we were up to like 100 people watching. It was a very good program. I hope I'm as insightful about the Packers as you are about the Bucks. How you doing today?
Good. I have several devices, so that's what brought the 100 views into play, that you just log in and try to...
More shoes or devices?
That's pretty close. I think device is a close second. As you know, I'm a loyal listener, and I was listening during the past few segments. Tausch is right on a couple of fronts. Delavan did used to be the former circus capital of the U.S. I also agree. I would look into electrician work. I mean, it terrifies me as a non-handy person, but I think it's the most beneficial.
Yeah,
in that things you could do to up the value of your own dwelling space. I think that's the one that makes the most sense. And also shout out to the Pearl, which I frequented many times when I was a lacrosse resident.
If only you played sports for a dual school co-op like Osseo Fairchild or Pecatonica Argyle, you would have had like a four bagger of Tausch topics.
Burnham Wood was another big
Wittenberg. Yeah. Yep. Cambria Friesland, I think, is one that gets underlooked a lot, too.
I have the winner of that, by the way.
Iola Scandinavia is right there.
I was one. That was the next one I was going to bring up, but I have one that even trumps all of. This is the best one because it's the only, I think, triple.
Triple O.
From Eric in Madison.
Oh.
Gail Ettrick Trempolo.
Yes. Get. Love Gail Ettrick Trempolo.
Kudos to Eric.
Electric
for having
Boogaloo.
That one.
Yeah. An electric well Boogaloo. Done. Yep.
It's been a while since we've had you on the program. Since then, I barely recognize the roster.
Anything else change?
What do you think of where this team is at? They had won four straight before they lost to Houston the other night. Obviously, Tausch will be in attendance, so I assume Nikola Jokic is not playing tonight. Where do you view this team as being
Might
at?
Break me if that happens tonight.
I saw somebody, I think it was on the Bucks subreddit, posted a picture of Kyle Kuzma, Kevin Porter Jr., and Jericho Sims on the floor together, and just had the caption of, "What if I told you in October this was a regular season Bucks game to see that trio out there?" And yet here we are. You know, a lot has changed, and I think we had a chance to see Chris Middleton play for the Wizards in his first game, ironically enough, with his new team against the Bucks. And I think he's played in just two games since that trade. I've seen two games with Chris Middleton. I think the sad reality is the Bucks probably made this trade a year too late, and we can debate how much of a boost Kyle Kuzma is individually over Chris Middleton. I don't think it's up for debate on the defensive end of the floor. The big issue that the Bucks are going to have to solve is an area where, in theory, Chris Middleton could and had helped you immensely in the past, and that is their half-court offense. I mean, that's the reason why they lost to the Rockets in a game where both teams combined to score 27 points in the fourth quarter. So you know what Chris Middleton is capable of doing, and you go no further back than the playoffs last year to see, look, this guy still had it in the tank then. But as he acknowledged in the interviews that he gave since the deal, I needed more time. And I recognize that the organization was at a place where they can't wait any longer. So I think their approach was, we still have Giannis, we still have Damian Lillard. That's unchanged. In any series we play in the Eastern Conference, we're going to have the best player on the floor. In some, we're going to have the second best player on the floor. But we just needed to get younger and more athletic. And I was talking about this with somebody else the other day. You know, sometimes you don't really recognize the scale of things until you're removed from it. And we had all heard the Bucks are an older team and a slower team. And I think we all kind of shoulder shrugged and rolled our eyes of like, yeah, I get they're not the Oklahoma City Thunder, but I don't think it's to the levels that we've heard. And then you see this injection of youth and you see how they are able to get out and run a little bit more and play differently. And you realize, oh yeah, this is a lot different now. So I still think, even if it's slight, they're in a better spot than they were before the trade, but they are in a massively better spot as you get into the summer and beyond by getting out of the second apron. They shaved off a lot of tax money as well, which I know doesn't benefit the fans. It does the owners, and it does open up things for them to potentially spend more money on. And they did things like unfreezing a draft pick where 2032 pick is on the table now. 2031, you can trade this summer. You might have the full mid-level exception available to use. So there's a chance, depending on what happens with guys opting out of the final year of their contract and Brooke Lopez's free agency, the Bucks could even be a team with cap space this summer, which was not anything we were discussing before the trade.
Justin, I teased Tausch, and he freely admits he is a Goody stan. You would say that you are a Chris Middleton stan, right? I mean, you always have believed that he is criminally underrated. We agree with you on the panel. But for you to acknowledge that the trade probably happened a year too late, I think is significant, because you're not someone who would say that just because you were down on him. That said, how do you see this team as it is now constructed moving forward? That all that stuff you just said about cap space and everything, that's great. But
doesn't
you still
help him now.
Yeah, and you still have Giannis, and I know that there are people, we're back into the worry about Giannis's future mode, even when he says that he would never leave and all the other stuff. So what is realistic? As I listened to you in the post game after the Houston game, I just don't know what I'm supposed to expect from this team, which went into that game leading by the tiebreaker, I believe. The Pacers, they had the fourth seed going into the game and then came out as the fifth seed. What should I expect for these last 20-plus games and heading into the postseason?
Expect? I don't know. I'm with you there. It's a very difficult schedule. They have the hardest remaining schedule in the Eastern Conference.
Heard
the reality is they're probably gonna finish fifth. That's what the numbers would dictate. But sixth isn't even off the table. The Detroit Pistons are apparently never going to lose again, and they're just a game back of the Bucks. You still got two games left with the Pistons. It's the final week of the season. It's your third to last and last game of the season against Detroit. That may determine who's the five seed. We don't know. But I think the important part for the Bucks is, you know, if we're going to say that you're not going to finish any higher than fourth, everything else is walled off because you're five games back of the Knicks, and the tiebreaker's a part of that too. I agree, but everybody that's worrying over the play-in tournament, I mean, doesn't the same apply there? The Bucks are five games up with the tiebreaker on all of those teams that are in the 7-10 range. So I think the expectation is it's somewhere 4-6. I don't know that it really matters where that is. I mean, in theory, it would be great if you're four and you have home court advantage. I think a lot of people are diminishing the Cleveland Cavaliers as a cute regular season story just because they've never broken through before. You could say the same thing about the Bucks going into 2021. They're a really good team, and you're going to have to beat good teams to advance to where you need to be. I don't think six would even be a disaster, and you get the New York Knicks in the first round. I know the first two regular season matchups, certainly less than ideal for the Bucks, but it's a different Bucks team, and I think we've seen teams kind of show more of a blueprint of, hey, here's the way you defend the Knicks, and the Bucks suddenly have the personnel to do that. So it's always going to come down to health being the most important thing for this team. They have not had it the past few playoffs. The important part, though, is you absolutely have to fix your offense, in that if any of us would have been told before the season, this team is going to consistently be in the top 10 defensively and have stretches where they're one of the two or three best defenses in the league for weeks on end, but the offense is going to be middle of the pack, I think we all would have thought you were crazy. But that's been the story so far. And it's not just the overall fourth quarter and in the clutch time. The Bucks have the worst fourth quarter offense in the league and the second worst in clutch. I mean, the good and bad is their clutch defense has been terrific so far this season, but the offense has been worse than that. That you have an offensive or a defensive rating in the clutch of 100, which is incredible, and yet you have a negative net rating in those moments. So that's the biggest thing that absolutely has to change of how can a team with Giannis and Damian Lillard, especially in those moments down the stretch, be struggling that much offensively? Because if that doesn't change, even if you're healthy, I mean, I think it's the same thing we experienced leading up to the title run too. The Bucks got just enough offense, and it was their defense that fueled them. They're not even at that level of where they were offensively during that championship run. So that's the biggest thing that really has to start to tick upward for this team.
Well, how's that going to change?
Guys start hitting shots. Now, I mean, it just seems to bog down quite a bit in the fourth quarter. I was looking it up the other day, and Giannis is your leading scorer in the clutch. He's played an equal amount of games and I think equal amount of minutes as Damian Lillard in those spots. But I think we all would have assumed, well, that's Damian Lillard's time. Brooke Lopez is your third leading scorer. And that may be the issue with this trade too.
Yep.
Yeah, that may be the issue with this trade is who's the third guy? Because before you knew it was Chris Middleton. I'm not saying you need a third superstar, but you need third guy consistently. I don't know that that's Kyle Kuzma. That's the other thing to keep an eye on is, you know, at the time of the trade, we saw in Kuz's first games with the Bucks, he brought a lot that, I don't want to say reminded you of Giannis, but that play style was similar, where he was an up and down the floor transition player, a lot of unorthodox shots, but he got him to fall. And I think in the back of your mind, you question, well, is he going to be able to do this with Giannis on the floor? Like, don't you kind of need him to be a shooter? And since he's returned, that's what we've seen, that it's been more catch and shoot variation, which is not his strength. So you got to optimize your lineups, I think, is we've seen Doc Rivers already tinker with the starting lineup. Andre Jackson Jr. is not only out of the starting lineup, he's basically out of the rotation because of the additional defensive pieces that you've added. So is it being more cognizant of, look, we really, in the clutch, we got to lean into Giannis at the five and Kyle Kuzma at the four, and Damian Lillard and two shooters around them? Is it more lineups like that? But that offense, it has to be much better than the second to worst in the league in those moments.
So I believe the last really 3 or 4 years, and I know the Bucks have had some disappointments with the first round exits. Giannis has been hurt. If this team, as we're sitting here, they're not going to change, stays healthy, can this team win a world championship as we sit here today?
I think the next 25 games.
Jason,
better.
Yes. You just did what Evan Cohen did to you. And I was expecting Justin to go, Jason!
Jason!
I mean, look, the big thing that stands out, so if you ask me at this moment right now, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a really tough challenge. Yep. No, I would not put them at the level of the Cavs or the Celtics because of the numbers that we just walked through and because the Bucks' record in those games and their net rating against those types of teams has not been very good. But these 25 games with your new reconfigured lineups and team, you got a lot of matchups against those types of teams. So I think we are going to learn in these 25 games.
What do we expect? Because I've come to the – I'm a big Nuggets fan. My game was modeled – or I think Jokic's game kind of modeled after my high school career back at Auburndale High School. I love the way he plays. How do you think we defend him tonight? I'm not asking you to give me surprise picks tips because Lord knows I need them. But how do you look at – how do we defend Denver tonight when we tip off at 7 o'clock?
There's this I can't remember who it was that invented it, but there's this, it's called the prayer and hope strategy. I think if we go back to what the Lakers
Ken
did.
Ken Rovac, I believe, our old general manager. Yeah. Had that strategy.
That's the Lakers. I don't know if it's the blueprint per se, but the Lakers, when they played over the weekend, really geared up for Nikola Jokic. And I think J.J. Redick talked about this a little bit after the game, too, more so than you see traditionally in a regular season game, where they had obviously no Anthony Davis anymore, but a big they could put on him and then front him as well and say, if Michael Porter Jr. is hitting shots, if Jamal Murray's hitting shots, they've been streaky this year. They've both been playing really well of late. We'll take it. We'll live with it. If that's who beats us, fine, but it's not going to be Nikola Jokic. We want the ball out of his hands immediately. The longer he keeps the ball, the more he finds a mismatch either for himself or one of his teammates on the floor. So you just got to prevent those moments, either fronting him or immediate swarm and pressure, and just live with the consequences. It's a much more athletic team that the Bucks have put together now. Brooke Lopez, in theory, can size up with him. Nobody's going to stop Nikola Jokic. But I do wonder if we see somebody like a Kyle Kuzma start to front him a little bit and just make sure the touches that Nikola Jokic gets are limited in this game. But I mean, that's the challenge, because Denver has been the best team in the league since January 1st. And Jamal Murray is a big piece of that. He's shooting near 50% on threes going back that stretch. That wasn't the case earlier in the season. I mean, you go back to December, the Bucks and Nuggets looked like they were kind of in the same spot, both around 500. Mm-hmm. You wondered about the core around Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray did not look like the guy he was in the finals. They had injuries to Aaron Gordon. And now all of a sudden they've gotten healthy and they've started to piece it together. And again, that's what you hope to see with the Bucks, is Giannis starts to get out of this low 30s minutes total. You feel good about his health, and now these new pieces get much more runway to work around Giannis, because that's the other challenging part for this Bucks team. And I guess I respect what they're doing here to say, look, we might drop games, but we're not going against the plan here for Giannis's health, because everybody had issues with the way that fourth quarter went against the Rockets. You scored 12 points. It's not good. You went 6 minutes without scoring.
Right.
But you had these stretches of no Giannis or Dame on the floor, and I get it's a pain point, but that's not going to be the case in the playoffs. And this game is not as important as a playoff game. When you're managing Giannis's minutes, you have to recognize, look, there's going to be stretches where we need to rest Dame too, and we're just not going to have one of these guys on the floor. That's not going to be the case in the playoffs.
Nuggets have won.
Russell Westbrook, and again, how much has he been playing? I have not. I'm a Jokic guy. Has Russell been an impactful guy? Because I see 4 rebounds and a very, very triple-double machine in the old days.
Wait a minute. Are you asking for NBA insight for the game or help with your Prize Picks selection?
Well, and I'm also interested, has Gary Trent's rebounding been up to par lately? Those are my last two questions for you. I'm just curious.
I can't ask pointed questions to our
this. Bucks expert. These are pointed questions.
Just an observation.
Yes.
I mean, number one, I suppose I should say, have fun with Prize Picks. As somebody employed by a team in the league, I cannot participate.
And absolutely. JG, my bad. I don't even want to know if Gary Trent is going to have 1.5 tonight. I don't want to know that answer, or I don't even want to ask that question.
What I would say, which the last thing I'll point out, because you mentioned me being a Chris Middleton stan, I'm also a Brooke Lopez stan, and that's been the other troubling part, is seeing some of the discourse around him these past few games. It's tough to look at the counting stats. Like, we have to take team numbers into account. And with Russ, I don't know
how much it changes.
Impactful, but
gotta go to
Lopez,
Illinois to ask about those numbers.
Those aren't part of my plan, JG.
You see it time and again. How can a 7-footer get 3 rebounds? And I mean, look, what I would implore you is, you guys deal with it too when you hear from Packers fans saying, how was this guy wide open? Why didn't this guy pick him up? Were they in zone? Were they in man to man? That's not his responsibility. It's not Brooke Lopez's responsibility to grab rebounds. It's his responsibility to create rebounding opportunities for his team. And you can say he's 7 feet. Why does he only average 5 or whatever it is, frankly? But the numbers dictate the Bucks are a much better team with Brooke Lopez on the floor than off. They're in the, I think, 77th percentile on the defensive glass when he's out there, 24th when he's off the floor. So he does make an impact. And quite frankly, there's no plan B So that's the other big thing to keep an eye on this summer. What does life after Brooke Lopez look like?
Mm. All right, last thing, JG. I'm not playing Prize Picks. I don't need your insights on this. But you just admitted you're a stand for two different guys. I really want Dame time to arrive. And I listened to Dave on the call. Then I listened to you two have your talk back. Then I listened to you do the post game. And he obviously had some opportunities to win or tie that game the other night in Houston. Where do you think he is now? Because we, and I was part of this, made plenty of excuses for he didn't get to work out the way he wanted to during the offseason last year, the trade timing, all that kind of stuff. Could it be that he really hits his stride as the playoffs arrive, and maybe that is the jet fuel for them to do some things in the postseason that you're hoping they do?
Yeah, and I mean, I guess I would say overall he's been better too.
Like I agree,
it's kind of the fine line of is it an excuse or is it the actual reason why? But sure. In terms of his efficiencies. He's been a better player so far this season, and it was a tough close against the Houston Rockets in that game. He hasn't had all that many. I mean, you think about games where you think, man, Dame's really in a shooting funk, and it feels like it's been this way for a couple of games now. And then you go back and look through and like, no, he was actually pretty good and pretty efficient for a stretch of seven or eight games. That's kind of what it's been like. Rockets are a tough matchup. For him and most anybody with the athleticism they have on the perimeter, with multiple guys that can switch and go out there defensively on him. Amen Thompson, a big piece of that. But look, you're going to have those matchups in the playoffs too. I get that point. I'm just not to the level where I am concerned about Damian Lillard. I think there was a lot of that last year, and I think the numbers backed it up last year. But again, as we went through the well-documented reasons of maybe why those numbers were down, I'm not there this year, but I mean, I think it is fair to say for a player that's approaching his mid-30s, he's moved into a different phase of his career. And if that means Damian Lillard is the number two guy clearly on this team, fine. I mean, there's still very, very few other players I would rather have in that role than Damian Lillard.
All right, JG, enjoy the game tonight. Make sure Tausch comes by. Is there a giveaway of some sort that you need to deliver to him?
And he watches
like past games?
I'll see if I can get a media meal voucher for him and deliver that directly. About it.
Ooh. Presented by Coors Light and apparently Prize Picks. JG, we appreciate your insights. You're the best, buddy. Thanks.
See you guys.
That is Justin Garcia. You can hear him before, during, at halftime, and after the game on the Bucks Radio Network. Tausch, since you brought it up, how are you feeling about your Prize Picks tonight, and will you be playing from your seat as it goes?
I will. I'm going to go more with Joker because he's my guy.
So it's Giannis, Jokic. I'm gonna go more. Jokic for basketball, Djokovic for tennis, because I always call him Joker. Yeah.
Okay. Any vitches. Just give me
son of a
Djokovic,
bitch.
Whatever it might be. Prize Picks. Jesse's putting his out. He's already trying to share his winning strategy. And that's the beautiful part about Prize Picks. It's you versus the projections. You pick more. It's simple to play. More or less on at least two players for a shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash. You can run your game all season long on Prize Picks, the best play to get action on sports in more than 30 states. This app is simple to use. Again, more or less on the projections. 27.5 tonight. 21.5 for Murray. I think we're going to see some doublage on Joker. I think Murray has a night, but I think it's going to be Dame time. And I'm going to have to look at what his projection is. I have not seen that yet, but the second half of basketball is here, and I am excited to be playing Prize Picks. Don't miss out on your chance to cash in as the league's best. Fight for that playoff positioning. Download the app today and use code WI. You get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks.
Run your game. We still have one more segment left in the 10 o'clock hour.
What? No.
Yeah.
No.
But Tausch got his.
Come on, Jesse.
Questionable insights into his Prize Pick selections. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin Sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans, this is 100.5 ESPN.
Badgers safety Hunter Wohler is at the podium at the NFL Scouting Combine right now, according to Lauren Helmbrecht of the CBS affiliate here in Green Bay.
Muskego's best.
Second to you, of course. Tausch, I was just curious, since you are going to the Bucks game to see Jokic, who are you going with? Is that top secret? Is there a crew going? Who's all going to the ball game tonight?
Yeah, Sarah's going. Max is going. Eleanor's going. I got no school tomorrow, so this actually fit. I was, as I had said, I was frustrated, obviously, with the lack of Jokic the last two times I think we've went. This time, fingers crossed. I usually look at Prize Picks to see if guys are playing, and I'm going to knock on wood. Looks like it's going to be a go. I'm very, very excited about it.
All right. Well, we look forward to your reports from there. We also look forward to the 11 o'clock hour, which will start with Brian Bulaga on the show today. It'll start in 2 minutes. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.